Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, today is about week number four or so on our series called Encounters with Jesus. And our hope this season is that during the summer that you and I personally have an encounter with Jesus before this summer is over. And so we've been looking through the Word of God, reading about the different encounters Jesus had, and inviting the Lord to, you know, Lord, give me that kind of encounter as well. Do in my life what we've seen you do in other people's lives. And here's one of the great things about Jesus, is that he doesn't just pick and choose who he blesses. He doesn't pick and choose who he redeems. He doesn't pick and choose who he gives salvation to. But what he's done for other people, he'll do for you. Did you know that? I want to say it again. What he's done for other people, he'll do for you this morning. And today I want to talk to you on the title. Today's title is simply called Fully Satisfied. Now, I want to take a survey real quick on a scale of 1 to 10. Kind of evaluate yourself. 1 meaning I am not satisfied with my life, with my spiritual condition, with my family condition, my work condition, whatever. Number 1 would be not at all. 10 being I'm like over the top. I am fully satisfied. Where would you rank your life? You don't have to answer out loud. Would you be a 1? Would you be a 10? Would you be somewhere in the middle? You know, stats tell us, articles that you're reading tell us that people in the U.S. today are becoming more and more less happy, less satisfied with their life. If you'll just go home this afternoon and watch the news channel for a few minutes, or beyond that, just turn on social media for a few moments and that news feed, you'll notice most of what you read is negative. People are embracing a lot of toxicity in their life today, and I kind of feel impressed to tell you this, by the way. If you are taking in toxicity all the time through the stuff you watch, the stuff you read, it's just a matter of time till the toxicity that's on the outside and around you is going to get into you. So if you're one of those people, if you're spending hours and hours a day on social or hours and hours a day reading the news and watching the news, I would just say, warning this morning, that stuff is actually bent to cause you to be dissatisfied in ways that maybe you ought to be satisfied. But Jesus actually lays out in detail for us this morning, in today's Jesus encounter, he lays out in detail for you and I how we can have fully satisfied lives through him. And he doesn't just share this message to everybody. We're about to read this scripture where Jesus sees crowds coming to him, and he actually climbs up this mountain. Some say it was a plateau, but he climbs up this mountain, and I love what the Message Bible says. We're going to read it in a minute. And that he began to teach to his climbing companions. I like that scenario, because I love that way that Jesus said that. The word says that he taught it to his climbing companions. In other words, to get what we're about to teach about this morning, it wasn't, you had to put a little bit of effort into it. You had to be willing to go a little bit higher than you'd gone before. You'd be willing to defeat your comfort a little bit more than usual to climb with Jesus. But for those who are willing to get beyond their comfort, Jesus taught them the keys on how to live a satisfied life. And so we're going to read the scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 5, it says, one day as he saw the crowds coming, Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down, and his disciples gathered around him. And he began to teach them. Here's our text today. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they'll see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they'll be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Let's pray over this text this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for the word this morning. We understand the word of God is powerful, it's effective, it's able to do what no other word can do. It can bring distinction between what is true and what is false. It can illuminate to us what is life-giving and what is life-taking. And I pray this morning that, Lord, you'll help me today to speak the word of God that you want us to hear, that you'll even help each of us sitting around the room this morning to hear what you want us to hear, not what a preacher wants us to hear, but what the Spirit of God wants to hear, today. And Father, we just commit to whatever you say to us this morning to respond to that at the conclusion of this message with commitment to you, fresh and new. And we'll give you thanks. Everybody in the room said amen. So Jesus uses this phrase 9 times, by the way. 9 times Jesus uses this phrase that God blesses you when. And then he fills in the blank, that God blesses you when. And he talks about all these different things. We call them the Beatitudes. And before we talk about how to embrace this reality this morning that welcomes the blessing of God in a greater way, I think it's imperative that we understand what does Jesus mean when he says blessings. When Jesus says, oh, you're going to be blessed if you do this, you're going to be blessed if you do that. What exactly does he mean when he says that? Because how do you understand that I'm not really sure that we always define the blessing of God correctly today. Most of the time when you hear the word blessing, many of us kind of default to things like money. We default to things like fame, fortune. We think about social status or influence, and we think that blessing is all about the tangible things and the here and now. But I want to tell you this morning that though the blessing of God can include some of those things, the blessing of God is greater than those things. The blessing of God includes things that those things can never develop in you, never give to you. There's plenty of people that have all the fame and the fortune the world has to offer, but yet they're not satisfied, they're not happy, they're not fulfilled. And so the biblical definition, when Jesus says blessed is the one that does these things, it means this: to be fully satisfied. All of us in this room know what it's like to get something that we thought would satisfy us that didn't satisfy us. Well, if I had the right car, I would be satisfied. If I had the right job, I would be satisfied. If I married the right person, I would be satisfied. If I had the right friends, I would be satisfied. And what happens is you marry that person, you get that job, you get that car, and you find yourself after a season being dissatisfied instead of fully satisfied. Why? Because the things of this world can never deliver to you the life that Jesus desires to deliver to you. And before I get into these, you could call them commands, you could call them on ramps to God's blessings, you call them keys to God's favor, whatever you want to call them. Before I get into that, I want to explain one more thing about this message that Jesus gives his disciples. This is not, some people read this, I'll put it to you this way. Some people read this as if they were a lame man, a crippled person, hearing Jesus give them directions on how to jump higher. Or they read it as a person who has a limp and Jesus telling them, you need to run faster. That is not at all what Jesus is doing this morning. As a matter of fact, I want to give you this help to you this morning. Anything Jesus asks you to do, he always gives you the power to do. Anything Jesus ever speaks to your heart, anything Jesus ever commands to, in his word for you to do, he doesn't just give it to you for you to do in your ability. He always, the moment you decide, I'm going to honor God, I'm going to obey God, I'm going to do what the word says, the moment you make that decision, the moment you move in obedience to God, God, when you move, guess what happens? God moves too. And he moves to give you the ability you didn't have before so you can take a hold of a life you didn't have before. And that's what Jesus is doing. When he's talking to his disciples, he's basically telling them, you cannot live your new life living the old way. So he gives them this new mode of operation on how to live a life that is fully satisfied. Because it's satisfied, here's the cut to the chase this morning, because it's satisfied in him. So how do I live a life that's fully satisfied? Number one, here we go. You have to recognize your personal need for Jesus. I know sometimes we see people cutting up. Maybe you've seen a kid acting out, and I hear people say, sometimes they'll see a kid acting out, they'll just look at that kid and they'll say, you need Jesus. Right? You ever seen that happen? They just point at people and think they need a come to Jesus moment. Well, here's the truth. We all need a come to Jesus moment, right? We all need Jesus. There's not a person in the world, there's not a person on the planet that doesn't have a personal need of Jesus. And you can never experience a fully satisfied life apart from a relationship with Jesus. And to think that you can is a sin that's called pride. You know, every once in a while, most of you know we have two kids, and you know, right before service, the worship team was in here practicing, and our two girls, they're ages 3 and 6. They were like right here behind the students. I don't know, they're watching something on the iPhone or what, but they were sitting there, and my youngest, Nora, who's 3, she, out of the corner of her eye, she caught a glimpse of me standing in the foyer, and she like made a beeline. She ran from the front row all the way to the back to jump in my arms and say, Daddy, because she hadn't seen me today. She was asleep when I left this morning. That made me feel like $1 million. But sometimes, let me get to where I'm supposed to be saying, sometimes, every once in a while, my kids will say things like this, I want to do it myself. Your kids ever told you they want to do it themselves? And sometimes, every once in a while, it's a moment of gratification because I see them do something they've never done before. But other moments, I realize we're going to be here a while. Right? I realize our day has stopped until they admit that they can't reach that thing on that shelf, until they admit they can't turn this bolt, until they understand that this is too hard for them, until they finally get to the place where they say, hey, Dad, I need some help, until they cry out for help that there's nothing I can do. And until they cry out for help, our day is stopped. Right? You ever been there? The same is true when it comes to our relationship with God. Until we call out to him and say, Lord, I need your help, our relationship with God is at a stopping point. Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, he said, by the way, he said, it's not the healthy that need a doctor. It's the sick. He said, I haven't come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners. What was Jesus saying? But Jesus was saying, it is your blindness to your need for me that is keeping you from receiving everything I have for you. The same Jesus that said, I've come that you may have life and life to the full, is the same Jesus who had to stay away from certain people. He couldn't bless those he wanted to bless because they were unwilling to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. It's our blindness. Some people have asked before, is there anything that can stop God? Well, I'll tell you one thing that can stop God in your life. It is your recognition. It's you refusing to realize that you need him. James chapter 4 says it like this, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Think about that. God resists the proud. When I think of that word, he resists the proud, I think of the picture of the Heisman Trophy. He just puts his hand up. There's resistance. You can't come any closer to God until you recognize, you know what, God, I have a great need for you. But Psalms 136 says that he is close, that he attends to the needs of the lowly, but he is far away. He knows from afar those who are prideful. Jesus came to life, give us life we can never experience our own. But we have to be willing to confess our need for him. And with every one of these actions Jesus tells us to take, he follows it up with a promise. He says, blessed are those who realize their need for me. Here's the promise. for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Everything the kingdom of heaven can deliver eternally and presently is yours for the asking the moment that you say, Lord, I need you. I wonder what in the world would keep any of us sitting in this room this morning or watching online to calling out to our Heavenly Father fresh and new and say, Lord, I need you today. I need you fresh. I don't need you like I had you yesterday. I need you today. Your mercy was new this morning, so I want in on what you're up to today. Why in the world would we ever satisfy for what we used to have? We got to say, Lord, I need you today. Let me tell you, you're never going to outgrow your need for God today. And part of the key of living a fully satisfied life is to understand that God has help for me in the moment I cry out to Him. Now, here's number two. How do I live a fully satisfied life? It's be sensitive to God. God blesses those who mourn, here's the promise, for they will be comforted. I'm glad that doesn't say God blesses those who mourn for they will be ignored. Right? But this verse, you know, sometimes I've quoted this verse at a funeral, giving hope to a family, that hey, as you mourn, understand that God is there to comfort you. And that is absolutely true. If you've ever experienced loss, then you know what it's like for the comforting hand of God to come upon you and comfort you in ways that no one else could comfort you. But this verse isn't actually talking about just having to mourn because something bad has happened to you. This verse is actually talking about the decision you made to be sensitive to God. In other words, you're making the decision that whatever bothers God is going to start bothering me. It's a choice to mourn. It's a choice to be brokenhearted, not about what's just happened to you, but it's a choice to be brokenhearted about what is grieving the heart of God. You know, here's the deal. When you're in a relationship with people, have you discovered the deeper your relationship goes with the person, you begin to care about what they care about, and you begin to mourn over what they mourn over? Megan and I have been married for 21 years now, and I've discovered that she mourns over dirty dishes in the sink. I mean, it breaks her heart. She won't go to bed at night if there's dirty dishes in the sink. She mourns over it. And I've gotten to where I've noticed that she has mourned over it. And so I've started to mourn over it too. It bothers her, so it bothers me. I mean, it bothers me so much that every once in a while I'll actually wash the dishes. It bothers her, so it bothers me. When you care about someone, you begin to care about what they care about. So I have to ask you this question. What does it say about us as Christ followers when we are indifferent to what Jesus cares about? How many understand that Jesus loves our world? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus loves our world. He came to redeem our world. He cares about people. He cares about lost people. He cares about sick people. He cares about people that seemingly have it all put together. He cares about all of us, and we have to care about what God cares about. And some of you think, well, Pastor, I'm just not that sensitive of a person. Some of you men are thinking that, you know, you're too manly to be sensitive. You're too masculine to be sensitive. And there's a Greek word for that. It's called baloney. Men, I'm just going to bust out all the men in the room today. Men are the most sensitive people on the planet. Some of you are thinking, no, not me. Oh, yeah? Let me put a hidden camera on you while you're in your deer stand. All of a sudden, you are super sensitive to every leaf twitching 100 yards away. Right? You turn up your sensitivity. I'm not sensitive. Let me take you to a golf course where you kneel down and you study. Well, this is so stupid, and we do it all the time. You study the ground to see how a ball is going to react. Well, I'm not sensitive. Give me your debit card for 5 minutes. If you're not sensitive, let me just borrow your debit card and let me go to Dillard's. And the first time I start to go, I got a feeling your sensitivity is going to rise. Why? Here's the main deal. We are sensitive about what we care about. And Jesus says, blessed are those who are sensitive to what I am sensitive about. Because when you get to the point where what upsets you is what upsets God, or maybe I should say it the other way, what upsets God is what upsets you, then you will be in turmoil. It will change your life. But at that same moment, you're going to discover a comfort like you never have before, because your heart is not beating apart from God. Your heart is beating with God. And all of a sudden, your heart is fully satisfied, because you discovered the heartbeat of God for the very first time. Blessed are those who are sensitive, those who mourn for what God mourns for, because they will be comforted. Third way to take hold of this fully satisfied life is to refuse to manipulate people or circumstances. God blesses those who are humble. Humility simply means that I'm trusting God enough to do what I can't do. I'm trusting God enough for Him to do the right thing instead of me doing what I feel like ought to happen. The word humble and the word meekness is sort of the same root word, and biblically speaking, the word meekness simply means this: humility, it's strength under control. Humility is not displaying your strength, it's displaying God's strength. And I want to tell you this morning, humility never cost you. Some of us feel like we have to take matters in our own hands. We have to manipulate people. We have to manipulate circumstances. Some of you, you've seen people, I know you're too spiritual to have this happen in your life, but you've seen people where I've seen married couples where they manipulate one another because they think the only way they can get their marriage to be the way their marriage is supposed to be is by manipulating one into each other into doing things that they're supposed to do. And how many understand that never works, right? So the Lord says, blessed are those who are humble. Blessed are those who are strong enough to trust me when it looks like things aren't working. See, you're never going to be fully satisfied until you understand that God is your source and not people. The only reason why people ever manipulate other people or try to manipulate circumstances, the only reason people do that is because they're not convinced that God will provide for them if they just trust Him. Blessed are those who are humble, because they're going to lose out. No. Blessed are those who are humble, because they will inherit the whole earth. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 14, He said, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, He said, don't just go and take the most prominent place at the table. He said, don't go sit next to the master, to the guest of honor. Don't go sit there. If you sit there, someone more important than you may come and say, hey, you're in my chair. Right? That's what the Bible says. No, different words, but that's what Jesus says. He says, someone of more honor will come and you'll be asked to go to the bottom. He said, instead, when you go to a banquet, go sit yourself in the lowest seat. And then the master of the house will see you and ask you to come forward. It's the same principle in James chapter 4, verse number 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He'll lift you up. Blessed are those who are humble, for they'll inherit the whole earth. Listen, you're never going to be satisfied as long as you're convinced you have to manipulate your way into happiness. You're never going to be satisfied as long as you believe you have to manipulate yourself into success. It's only when you're humble enough to trust Him. And number four, we'll live a satisfied life when we have a hunger for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. for they will be filled. You know, all of us know what it's like to hunger for things. We hunger for power. We hunger for authority. We hunger for success. We hunger for, you know, tangible things in the world. There's really nothing wrong, by the way, of having a hunger for nice things, having a nice job, a nice career. There's nothing wrong with hungering those things. Just so we're hungering for the blessing of God more. Right? Just so the blessing of pleasing Him is greater, that the goal of pleasing Him is greater than the hopes of pleasing ourselves. And so how do I develop this hunger for righteousness that God says He will fill? Well, He says you got a hunger for righteousness, which simply means it's a hunger for righteous character. See, righteousness always begins internally. It always begins by saying, Lord, you know, when you saved me, when I begin to follow Jesus, He cleansed us from the inside out. And so now I've got to develop a hunger to become more and more like Him. And a biblical example of this is John the Baptist. He made this statement. He said, Christ must become more and more and more, and I must become less and less and less. Why? Because he wanted Jesus to be seen. He had this desire for his life to be all about Christ. And friends, we're never going to be satisfied until you decide, I want my life to be about Christ more than I want it to be about Him. So it's this righteous development of character. Number two, it's a hunger to stay in the favor of God. You know, the psalmist said in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, the guy who had everything said, Lord, take everything, but don't take your spirit. He had a hunger for God's presence in his life. And friends, you and I, we must never lose our hunger for more and more of God in our life. And last, meet if you want to come. We have to have a hunger to see God's righteousness shared with others. I'm thinking about Moses. You guys know Moses, right? Born. His mom wanted to save his life, so she pushed him out into the river in a basket. He was discovered by one of Pharaoh's daughters who took in Moses, and she raised him as a member of the Pharaoh's household. But when he becomes an adult, he has this heart for righteousness. It's a good heart. It's a heart to see justice done. And so one day he sees an Egyptian beating one of his Israelite brothers. And so what does he do? He runs out there and he tries to execute righteousness. How does he do it? He executes the Egyptian. He kills the guy. And people see it and he runs off. He tried to establish righteousness outside without first establishing it inside. He tried to establish God's way without doing it God's way. But here's what the word says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want to ask you, bow your heads this morning. At the beginning of the service, I asked you, at the beginning of the message this morning, I asked you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rank your satisfaction in life? Would you describe yourself as fully satisfied? Not satisfied because you've settled and you decided how life is, what life is going to be. That's not fully satisfied. Not satisfied because you've just gained the next thing that you thought would bring satisfaction. If your satisfaction is coming from a person, if your satisfaction is coming from something tangible, something you can drive or own, it's just a matter of time till that person or that thing fails you. But there's a satisfaction that never fails. You can live a fully satisfied life because you've discovered that God sustains you when nothing else can sustain you. You can live fully satisfied because you discover God can keep you when nothing else can keep you. You can discover that your life is fully satisfied, not because conditions are perfect, but because Jesus is perfectly faithful in every season of our life. And today, say, Pastor, I just need the satisfaction of Jesus to flood my life. I've been settling for lesser things. I've been trying to derive satisfaction from people. I would just say this to you, stop putting that kind of pressure on people. Only Jesus can satisfy you. Maybe you've been trying to gain satisfaction by things. Listen, there's not enough things you can buy that's going to bring satisfaction. Only Jesus fully satisfies. So there's two prayers I want to pray this morning. Number one is the person. I want to pray for the person in the room today that you've never trusted your heart fully to Jesus. Maybe you've heard about him. Maybe you've somewhat followed him, but you've never really put him in the driver's seat of your life. You've never really trusted him enough to obey him. You've tried to manipulate him, manipulate circumstances, but you've never really trusted Jesus. And today Jesus is saying to you, trust me with all your life, and you'll discover a life that fully satisfies. Today you're not a Christ follower, but you just sense the help, you sense the drawing of God's presence to your life today. Let's just lift a hand here quick. That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. I need a taste of his satisfaction. I've been trying to get, amen, amen. I've been trying to get satisfaction in other places. Number two, believers, let me talk to us. Christian person in the room today, Christ follower. Listen, it is so easy to move our full focus and faith from God to the things God provides. And I would challenge you this morning, fresh and new, never get those two things mixed up. God can provide in every season. He can satisfy in every season. And seasons that you think are lacking, God can redefine them by providing abundance in a season that others would call lack. And maybe this morning you're sitting here and you say, Pastor, I am in a season of lack. Whatever area of your life, but it's lacking. And I love Jesus, but I'm lacking. I want to pray that today the fully satisfying help of God will come to you and redefine this season that you're in. And that's you. Would you lift your hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. 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 I want to ask you to stand with me all across this room. Then I want to pray for you today if you lifted your hand. Father, I pray for the people that are choosing to put you in total control this morning. Some of them have followed churches before. Some of them have followed people before, but they've never really followed you. Today, they're putting you in the driver's seat. They're going to follow you. I'm thankful today there's new life. There's full satisfaction for those that will follow you. God, I also pray for those today that are in circumstances that would be defined by them as lacking. It's lacking joy, it's lacking peace, it's lacking hope, it's lacking strength, it's lacking resources, it's lacking things that they need. And Lord, you're the God that can make us have abundance even in the places of lack. So I pray that today you will provide abundance in every person's place of lack this morning. That no matter what they're facing, they will be fully satisfied in you this morning. I pray that they will continue to discover your strength like never before. In Jesus' name. This morning, I just really felt compelled to end this service this way today. That we would end the service singing the song that Megan is playing right now. She's gonna lead us in this song. And it just simply says, Lord, surround me. And I just pray that as you make that your prayer this morning, the help of God will fully surround you this morning. And if you would like personal prayer today, I'm just going to stand down in the front today. I'd love to personally pray for anyone who would like personal prayer today. Just get out of your seats, come forward. I'd love to agree with you in prayer. But if not, at the conclusion of this song, you can consider yourselves dismissed. But let's close our service today with prayer and with worship, asking the Lord to meet our every need and supply us with His presence in this place. If you don't want personal prayer, I'll be here. Let's worship together today.
Surround me, oh Lord. Surround.
God bless you for worshiping with us today. If you're a first-time guest, I would love to meet you and greet you, put a gift in your hands. I'll be out in the foyer in just a few minutes. I'd love to just be able to put a name with a face and put a gift in your hands. Have a wonderful Sunday. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, give you peace and joy both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for worshiping with us today.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.